See it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to, once again, the Watch with Jesus Bible Study for tonight. My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this Bible study, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, when I'm not having issues. I'm hoping my issues are over. So, family, tonight I'm going to talk about something very unusual. Well, it's not unusual, it's a Bible study, but I'm going to cover a subject matter that is... I realized here in the past, I always wait the last minute. The past 5 minutes, I realized it's a national issue, really. It's called sex. Not Christian sex, S-E-C-T-S, but S-E-X, sex. But you're probably going to hear some things tonight that you haven't heard anywhere else in approaching the subject. You're probably thinking, well, married, unmarried, and fornication, and all this and all that. Well, yeah, but... I'm going to cover another aspect of it, in addition to that, about what we're dealing with today. Same-sex marriage, religious laws changing, the control of a nation, destruction of a nation, of a world, based on sex. It's powerful, very powerful. Used by the originator of the World Revolutionary Plan, Adam Weishaupt. Sex is a weapon. That's where the use of prostitution came from, to sway the politicians, matter of speaking. By using prostitution to touch on a base human desire and need with trained prostitutes, would then put the individual, whether the military leader or legislator or whatever he is, in some kind of compromising position to get control. Any questions? Boston Strangler was a Freemason, blamed on a psycho, but actually was two prostitutes learned of the New World Order plans. And had to be eliminated. So they killed 4, 5, 6 others, whatever number it was. I don't remember off the top of my head. To make it look like it was a work of a psycho, when actually it was only 1 or 2 prostitutes really targeted. So to not make it look too obvious, they had to kill others and blame it on an assailant, a psycho. It was because 2 prostitutes, one especially, found the plans and said, "Look what I found." Knew about the plans of the New World Order. And 2 prominent clients, we'll say, made a boo-boo. They left the plans where they could be seen. So they simply eliminated the 2 prostitutes. That's it. Boston Strangler. A psycho, etc. No, sir. Wasn't. It was a mistake by the Illuminati and the Freemasons that let their plans out. See, God's got a way of keeping them always off the balance. That's why they haven't achieved it yet. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and we're going to go about this study in a way maybe you have or have never heard before. This is not going to be a traditional Bible study on sex. It's going to be a realistic study based on what's going on today. And, yes, of course, biblical study. Because all connected. In ways you might not have imagined. How's that for a lead-in? Okay. Lord, thank you tonight. Father, once again, we have our Bible study. Thank you, Father, for bringing us together in this network, Lord, of our own control, our own use. Father, for all, so many other networks are controlled by outside investors and so forth. Lord, we thank you. You give us our own network. And Father, with a good broadcast station through professional services, it's not connected to even here. Father, we thank you for the opportunity with this fine network that you've given us that we can tack into, and the equipment, Father, you've over the years, thank you for that and the way you brought it to us was nothing less than miraculous. Lord, we pray for our families today especially. We pray for our families that, Father, that you bring us together, Lord, because the patience is wearing thin. Father, we need help. Help to touch the hearts, that they'll inquire and talk about Jesus more than themselves. Father, help me with patience. Mine wears thin. Father, I need help. In order to guide us to be patient with family members and patient to work with the technology, and Father, to be patient to work to find the truth and opportunities to give it out and the words to speak. And Father, to find the audience to listen, that something will come of it. For I pray the Holy Spirit is already on top of that. We ask you, Lord, for wisdom and discernment through these end time days. So, Father, we can be watchmen on the wall for others. These things we pray in the name of our Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I appreciate y'all coming by. Appreciate it. This evening on a Monday. Y'all could be doing something else, you know. It's a Bible study I planned, I guess, 2 years ago. I was going to do my own, and one day it just dawned on me when I was getting ready to start my own Bible study. I just might as well invite people with me. Because I got a network. Well, I do, don't I? I said, yeah, I do. We'll use it. I said to myself, okay, I will. And so here we are, and I did. I talk about two things tonight. One semi-short. About a subject came up this afternoon with some of my involvements with another ministry I have called YouTube. And there's another ministry called Facebook. They end up being ministries, actually, because you make comments to people, and you just don't know what you know what's going to happen when you say something to someone. Facebook's called suicides. Bullying on Facebook can kill somebody. I mean, it's powerful. It's not just unnamed folks. You know who's on the other side, but if you know who they are, you can influence people through the internet. Computer's powerful. It's a ministry. Well, family, one of the points that came up was a challenge. Now, you got to be careful about challenges because they draw you into a debate. And you can't debate in the Bible. No one can really debate in the Bible. It's not possible. Because nobody's got the mind of God. They keep forgetting that. You can only debate when you have the mind of whatever subject that you're fully covered, of whatever subject it is, then you're able to debate it. Nobody has the mind of God. So how do you debate that? Well, that's why in Romans 1:29, debate is listed among the murderers. Look it up right now. As one of the sins is debating. You can't debate. Legitimately, you can't anyway. No human can, because no human has the capacity to understand the supernatural. You see. So one of the points that came up, how do you know that God exists? This question came up to me about 2 years ago. So, said that, how do you know your God exists? Well, you know, you... I gave him some answers, not much that exists, but about Thomas, about having faith. Decision to make based on faith and faith alone. Repentance of your sins. Not asking Jesus to come in your heart. That's some of the mistakes that preachers make. Holy Spirit comes in your heart when you repent. That's moving the stone away from your heart. It's repentance. That's the trick. The trick, that's the point. Ask Jesus to my heart. We'll remove the stone first. What stone is that? Repent. Acknowledge your sin. Let him know I sinned. What? Exactly what? That's what he wants. And then have faith that he will come into your heart. That's what they're not teaching today. That's the tricky part on a lot of them. So we believe that the existence of God and questions such as these relating to it can be intelligently answered. And the reason we know that God exists is because he told us so. That's all he needs to do. But in the days of, like, that prayer at Lake Worth, Florida, humanism, science, they can't get science straight, never have. Keeps changing. You trust, I can't people with any kind of intelligence ever trust science. Keeps changing. Bible hasn't changed in over 400 years. All they changed was some misspelt words. That's all. That's the King James Bible, by the way. No other Bible can claim that. Not even one. You'll be no help at all. No help to us in all of our human predicament if God was just silent. But happily, this is not the case. God not only exists, but also has communicated that fact to us. He's told us all about who He is, about what He's like, and what His plans are for planet Earth. You see, this is true. So, His plan for planet Earth is He's revealed these things to mankind through the Bible. And then you focus on just one Bible, the King James Bible. And you know, the Bible's demonstrated itself more than just being a mere book, if you really read it. It's the actual Word of God. You know, the evidence is more than convincing to anyone who's really considered the claims, when you really look at it. Because the boast of the Bible, the boast it makes for itself, many have tried to destroy it. You know, even Martin Luther was actually a closet Jesuit. A lot of people don't know that, as was John Calvin. Neither one of them could be trusted back in those 16th century. Oh, that's another story right there. But Martin Luther said, quote, "Mighty potentates have raged against this book and sought to destroy and uproot it. Alexander the Great, princes of Egypt, Babylon, monarchs of Persia, of Greece, of Rome, emperors Julius and Augustus, but they prevailed nothing. They're gone while the book remains, and it will remain forever and ever perfect, entire as it was declared at first. Who has thus helped it? Who has protected it against such mighty forces? No one, surely, but God Himself, who's a master of all things." Unquote. That's good, because it's very true. And it drives me to beg the question, why did Martin Luther then create his own religion, Lutheranism? Why did he, you know, there's all kinds of questions about old Martin Luther that I could ask, and John Calvin, too. So they always give you some truth. Remember that. They always give you some truth as a lure before they do a hook and a crook. But for Martin Luther, that's a true lure, and it's a true statement he made. Rousseau, forgot that, I can't pronounce French for good sake. R-O-U-S-S-E-A-U, Rousseau, whatever. Anyway, he saw something different in the scriptures. He said, and I quote, "I must confess to you that the majesty of the scriptures astonishes me. The holiness of the evangelists speaks to my heart and has such striking characters of truth, and is, moreover, so perfectly imitable, inimitable, that it has been the invention of men. The inventors would be greater than the greatest heroes." That comes out of Frank Mead, by the way, Encyclopedia of Religious Quotations. So, You know, the Bible gives us sufficient reason to believe that's the word of the living God. And there's only one when traced as the King James Bible. If it was two, I'd say the Geneva Bible, King James, Doug Dynasty, they're pretty good. But I can't say that. Doug Dynasty's garbage. It's trash. It's no better than a Superman comic book. Geneva Bible, with it at the time, was incomplete. And in a lot of cases, contradictory to the King James Bible. But they used it at the time. No, sir. The King James Bible stands alone of any Bible that's ever been printed on the face of this earth. You see. So Rousseau, even as a skeptic, supported the Bible. Rousseau. That's my French for today. Parlez-vous français? Qu'est-ce que c'est? Chateauneuf de Pop. Oh. That's the extent of my français. So my lesson, my word today is Rousseau. I guess he could parlez-vous français a whole lot, couldn't he? Being a skeptic, kind of question where he is today. Anyway, you know, another reason we know that God exists is because he appeared in human flesh, as the Bible says. The Bible confirms that Jesus says he's God. So many different ways. Rousseau. I like that better. It's a lot easier to say down south. They have such a misuse of so many vowels and whatever. Should just bring it down to one. Silent letters? If they're silent, why even put them in there in the first place? Just leave them out. Spell it differently. English language. What do they know? They just haven't been down south very long. God came down here in human flesh, didn't he? And Jesus Christ was God Almighty, became man. It says in John 1:14, it's clear as a bell. When you go into John 1:14, it says, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's pretty clear. It's quite clear about the fact that Jesus came to earth to reveal who God is and what he's all about. And 41,000 different sects with different beliefs is not going to tell you how God is. That's right there is proof positive that, you know, something I've always said, that God created man in his own image. Well, man returned the favor. In other words, man created God in his own image. Someone wants to know who God is and what he's like, only got to look at Jesus Christ. And what does Jesus Christ tell us to become an example of him? Whoa, you see how it works? Lord Byron said, quote, if any man was God or God was a man, Jesus Christ was both. Also Frank Mead, Encyclopedia of Religious Quotations. So, instead of man reaching up to find God, to go up to the sky, man to go to him by way of Mars or Venus, God reached down to man. Casserly said, I quote, the gospel provides that knowledge of ultimate truth, which men have sought through philosophy in vain, inevitably in vain, because it is essential to the very nature of God that he cannot be discovered by searching and probing of human minds, which God doesn't, of course. They can only be known if he takes first the initiative and reveals himself. That's a Christian in philosophy by Langmead Casserly. So, in conclusion, show you I'm on the way to the next subject. Jesus, in coming back from the dead, which he did, Buddha's dead, family. Mohammed's dead. All of Joseph Smith is dead. They're all dead. All of them. They ain't coming back either. But Jesus is coming back. They couldn't have faked that. All the disciples died. Except for, of course, Judas. He hung himself. All the disciples died, proclaiming he had risen. No man's going to die for a lie. Not even a terrorist. You say, oh, hold on there a minute. Hold on, Tom. Are you saying that Islam is true? No. They believe it is. They're brainwashed by the CIA, ISI, and other intelligence agencies and their own people that work for the intelligence agencies. That's correct. To make terrorists who believe it's the truth. They believe Allah is true. They believe Islam's true, but it was created by the Vatican anyway. How can the Vatican be true when it's created by the Vatican? Islam, excuse me. Well, that's true too. That was a Freudian slip. It's true. How can Islam be true if it's created by the Vatican? And it was in the 6th century. To control the Arabs that rejected Roman Catholicism. But y'all didn't know that. Some of you do. Some of you didn't. And some of the Arabs know that too. Some of the Arabs that know about Islam also know that is Muhammad, the prophet, was the same, is in the same bloodline as Queen Elizabeth II. Man, the web that they've put together, Satan has been a busy, busy boy. So, Jesus is the only one, because they saw him after. And they died proclaiming from then on. They rejected him at first. Rejected him when he was alive. They didn't when he finally come back from the dead. They died for him then. Thomas, all of them. John died in the prison, but he was made. God made sure he was there to write the revelation and not be bothered. See, there's a reason why he's exiled. God's always in control. So Jesus is coming back from the dead. He established himself as having credentials to be God, and it was this fact that demonstrated the truth to the unbelieving world. Machens, M-A-C-H-E-N, said, I quote, "The great weapon with which the disciples of Jesus set out to conquer the world was not a mere comprehension of eternal principles. It was a historical message, an account of something that had happened. It was the message. He is risen. He's alive." Now you know why I play the song at the end. There's a reason why. You'll find that in Christianity and Liberalism. Interesting. Read. J.G. Manchin. So finally, you have the Bible and the person Jesus Christ. Two strong reasons arguing for the existence of God. No other religion, nowhere. No other sect or philosophy offers anything near to demonstrate that God exists. Even a God exists. They have nothing. Indians? Mormons? Because their philosophy is way off track. They pervert the word of God by calling Jesus a prophet. Mormons, they say you're going to inherit a planet. So even in Christianity, is a religion. That in itself is suspect. Christianity, like Islam, was created by the Vatican to control Christians. Islam created by the Vatican to control the Arab Muslims who rejected Christianity. And then those in Christianity didn't agree with certain parts of it. They created sub-sects. Joseph Smith. Ellen G. White. Charles Taze Russell. Oh, yeah. All of them. No exception. Not one exception. Billy Graham is a Mason. He He taught the truth to 1990 and stopped. Then when the millennials were now being born, he changed over to the New Age teaching about Christ, but not Jesus. It all changed in the 1990s. That's when the generation for that period was completely manipulated. You see? It's all been planned out, family. That's my point. Ain't no getting around it. Deny it if you want. But the evidence is all there. That's how Satan's worked this thing. Sex. Sex. You know, it's good. God created human beings to be a sexual being. Genesis 1:27 talks about that. He designed us for physical attraction and pleasure. The one flesh relationship between husband and wife, see, is always intended to be physical as well as spiritual. And sex releases biological tension and expresses, I'm one to talk, but one's total acceptance of willing to independence and that with another person. Marital sex should be joyful. Oh, but it's much deeper than that. Always has been in the history of the creation of this world and this universe, is there's always a subordination to authority. Everybody's subordinate to somebody. That establishes a family unit. The angels, subordinate, and mankind, subordinate to God. Mankind, subordinate to the rulers and the powers that be. That's your gods, little g, that talks about in the Bible. They try to make it look like God's is divine, but it's not. Your Copelands and Hagees and Braziers and all these guys, you'll become his little gods, like Joyce Myers. You'll be his gods. You mean I'll be a governor someday? Oh, that'd be nice. I'll be a governor or a mayor or a legislator of some kind. I like that, like the parking place. I wouldn't mind getting their tax refund. That's the little gods is talking about. Not divine gods. So when they work divine gods into this part of the Bible, they're following along with what Billy Graham's doing, the New Age movement thinking. We'll all become as gods in the next evolutionary mankind. And blah, 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 all that nonsense. That began in the 1990s. You see how it worked? In Proverbs 5:18-19, the Bible is so rich, it's incredible. Ecclesiastes 12, I believe it's 12. Yes, it is, 12:6. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, gold in the bowl be broken, or a pitcher be broken to the fountain, or the wheel broken to the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. And this is Old Testament. Silver cord is your soul, the connection to God. The golden bowl is your brain, where the silver cord is connected, and the pitcher be broken at the fountain. That's your heart, circulatory system. The wheel broken to cistern. Pitcher be broken at the fountain. The wheel broken to cistern is your circulatory system. The life is in the blood. But when the silver cord is loosed, the golden bowl is broken. The pitcher is broken at the fountain and the wheel broken at the cistern is describing death. And then shall the dust return to the earth. Hello. Dust you are made from, dust you shall return. And the spirit shall go back to God who gave it. Man, that is powerful. Ecclesiastes 12:6 and 12:7. Now, hold on a minute. How did they know that? They didn't have any medical department back then. And these guys that wrote this were Bedouins in the desert. Come on now. Where'd they get this knowledge from? How do you know if the brain, the cerebral cord, be loose, the circulatory system? How do they know about all that? How can they write that, even in any kind of compatible, comprehensible terms, unless they had supernatural help through the Holy Spirit? So Proverbs leads me up to Proverbs now. He's right before Ecclesiastes 5:18-19. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. Be thou ravished always with her love. That's marital sex, family. Oh, but it goes on in Proverbs 5:20. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. He shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction. In the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Boy. Sure throws a conviction on some of us, don't it? The Bible don't mess around. There's a lot of aspects of sin that severely corrupted human sexuality. Pride, mutual fear, having driven a wedge between men and women. It's no longer trusting God to meet their needs. They have needs. They don't. Let's create needs. That's how they've done it, the Illuminati. Let's make them work. Take them away from the family. Let's throw their faces in front of Miss America. That's your standard. Mr. America. Big bones, big muscles. That's your standard. No, it's a fantasy. It's not real. These girls and guys are trained. They're trained. The makeup was taught by the fallen angels. Manipulation of the body, alchemy, in ways you had never known before. Taking the steroids, taking the beauty methods and all that, so what's done to the body is destroy the DNA. And when they're done with it, they get too old, they're right back to normal, and their life force has been taken away. Now you know. No longer trusting God to meet the needs, and people use sex to manipulate each other into giving love and respect or to make themselves feel better. Family, when I talk about these things, I'm just as guilty as everybody, but I have to talk about it. Does it convict me? Oh, yeah, does it ever. So for me, it's a battle every day. Sometimes God will help you with it, give you a way to escape the thoughts. Opportunities is where the conviction comes in. He'll always give you a way to escape. You know, the normal physical desire is inflamed by an association with the ego desires. Do they not do that in college? How do you think the teachers get caught in high school? Because the students go back and selfie it, or they brag about it. The teachers today, though, are told to do this because they want to bring the faith and trust from the schools back into the National Council, the International Rights of the Child. That's another story. to show they're not safe at school. That's the efforts going on today. But the normal desires with ego, but the size, the numbers, eye candy or whatever you want. You see how it works? Or you got a name for it, technique for it? Because it fills the ego. Women not so good looking, if you want to, everybody want to characterize it. If they see themselves as not good looking, will use sex to get attention. Those that do know they're good looking or whatever will use sex to get money, get sex to, I don't know, get a dinner or that, something. You don't know these days. They're taught to use that sexual approach. Men too. Hey, baby, my name's Rock. And he flexes his muscle while he's talking. Sex has become a tool, a weapon, an obsession. Now, along those lines, watch this. Watch this. In May of 1919, in Dusseldorf, Germany, the Allied forces found a copy of the Communist Rules for Revolution. And 84 years later, they succeeded in every area. For tonight, I'm not going to go over all those areas, except for one. It's the first one. I quote one of the rules of engagement. Quote, corrupt the young. Get them away from religion. Get them interested in sex. Make them superficial and destroy their ruggedness. They put estrogen in the men's in certain foods. Do I have to tell you about transgender? I mean, it's been done. It's been accomplished. It's part of the rules of engagement. And they have other things similar to that. Like encourage and eventually legalize the use of drugs and make pornography an art form. See, so they use various side movements to enhance the weapon of sex out of wedlock, naturally. Human trafficking. People forget it's not always just about sex, it's the sex is used as a vehicle to obtain demonic possession, which benefits the one doing it. As in sodomy, rape, or murder. Opens up a portal, allowing demonic possession. People don't realize this. They think it's all about that physical gratification. Oh, no. It goes way beyond that. For those in the high level. Oh, yeah. I mean, we're talking presidents, prime ministers, legislators, CEOs, religious leaders that pretend to be religious. We're talking the highest level, all the kings and queens. And these people do things you can't imagine. Teaching their children at 5 and 6 years old to cut off the heads of babies. That's coming out now. Drinking the blood and eating the flesh. I know that sounds bad, but that's exactly what's going on, family. That's the purpose of abortions. That's a portion. That's what was done back in the Mayans. It's what's done today by the highest level of those in government and royal families. They'll answer to God for all that. But I'm just trying to make a point to you on how sex is not always about sexual gratification. It's about satanic sacrifice. high level Freemasons. They know all about the Transgothic experience. The royal secret, they call it. The Pentagon knows about this when the children they use from Child Protective Service, it brings it to them. Same thing for overseas as well, London. It's no different. See how high this goes? The use of sex. Why God has made such a strong stand against it. What did David do? He had sex with Bathsheba. Surprise or not. Sent her husband out to die in a war. Why, he diddled around with her. So those men in the Bible weren't always innocent. He was loved by God. He loved God, but he made mistakes too. Sex is for married couples only. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 20, and these other passages, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 20, is clear that premarital sex is as damaging as cheating on a spouse. Sex is an expression of lifelong commitment. But goes beyond that, my studies have determined and discovered that the transference of bodily fluids is also transferring the soul of one person to another. So now if you're married and you have extramarital affairs, a lot of them, can you imagine? This is physical. It's biology. It's spiritual. Then we got into the disease part. See, it's more complicated than people realize. A whole lot more complicated. Things that people don't want to hear. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or an effeminate. That's homosexuals, family. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Now, do y'all realize, did you know, I found this the most interesting thing. You know, I'm probably going to do part two tomorrow. I think this is going to go for a while. How about part two tomorrow? Here's something I found very interesting. Now, I know I've got a handful of people tonight. I'm not sure how many. And then a lot of people, I got 80 countries now, listen to me. Yeah, I counted them the other day in the month of March, toward the number of countries that got my net website was 80. I said, oh my gosh. Something very curious. You have a pastor named Stephen Anderson or something. He works for the Jesuits because he teaches Catholic replacement theology. So right there is a connection with Anderson and the Catholics. So the way he does things, it makes me to believe he's a Jesuit in disguise, pretending to be Christian. He says, no more homos in my hair. No more homos here. There'll be no more homos. No homos. And he says in a telecast in Arizona, reads Leviticus that they all should be killed. Now, that's got to be the dumbest thing I ever seen. A preacher makes that kind of irresponsible comment. I went head-to-head with some of his members on the Facebook. I stayed with him for an hour or 2 hours or so, and I said, okay, this is insane. Because I said, okay, all right, we've established it. All homosexuals, according to Leviticus, which denies the New Testament, by the way, all homosexuals must be killed. Your pastor says so. Says it open air, open on the Arizona News, TV. Okay, so when are y'all going to start the legislation to have all homosexuals, and you identify them by the same-sex marriage rosters in the 37 states that's lifted the ban? Who's going to start the killing process, Blackwater? I mean, who's going to kill them? Stop running at the mouth and get with the business. You say he's got to die. Who's going to start the legislation in front of Congress to start the killing of all homosexuals. Put up or shut up. You see? Ask the preacher when he gets done with the sermon. Okay, preacher, you convinced us. Even though Jesus said to the woman at the well in adultery, which has the same conviction as homosexuality, is death. So adulterers must die in Leviticus, and homosexuals must die. So now you got to find out who's adulterers in your church, and you got to kill them. What's the problem? Of course, I don't know, the state might have a problem with that, but your preacher doesn't have much of a problem, because he can't just say, well, we declare homosexuality is the only one. Adulterers, it's okay for you. I don't know what's wrong with these people, unless they're trained that way, and they are trained to put a doubt on the scriptures, which says asinine comments. Homosexuals should be killed. One of the most irresponsible comments I've ever heard. And people backed it up the whole time for 2 hours. Man, they jumped on me something awful. I was curious how far they'd go. Unbelievable how Satan has these people so messed up. What do you do? What do you say to these people, huh? They will not hear what you got to say. Common sense. God told the woman that the adulterer caught, same thing as homosexuality, for death. They said, should we stone her? What did Jesus say? Well, sure, if you've never sinned before, go ahead. Oh, oops. He said to her, your sins are forgiven you. Go and sin no more. That's a condition. There's a condition there. Go and sin no more. It's a matter of free will choice. Bingo. Churches are falling away like you'd never believe, I tell you what. That's what the Jesuits have come in to infiltrate as Baptist ministers, Presbyterian, Methodist, Mormons. They've infiltrated all the churches since 1887 till now. So you see, sex is powerful. A powerful tool. Right there, 1 Corinthians 6:9 forbids adultery, idolaters, fornicators, homosexuals, effeminates, or abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for the meats, and the God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and Lord for the body. That's what it says. God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. You see what he says there? Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? You're members of Christ. He's in you. Then he goes on to say, shall I then take members of the body of Christ and make them, he's going to make them the members of a harlot? See, he leads you. God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Now, I found something interesting here. Yep, I'll share with you. Yep, did you know? I'm not even going to count the number, like 20 Bibles. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye, in the King James Bible, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Guess what? In all these other Bibles, including NIV, NESB, NJB, every darn one of them, says this, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. Stop. They took out in every Bible, except for the King James, they took out of the Bibles, quote, and in your spirit, which are God's, they took that out. Removed it. Ask your preacher about it. take a little piece of paper with 1 Corinthians 6:18 on it. Or 6:20. 1 Corinthians 6:20. And then bring a King James Bible and this little index card. Say, preacher, can you, you know, he uses NIV or whatever else. In your Bible, can you explain to me why this isn't complete? And watch what he does. Make it do that. Go ahead and do it. So what? Watch what he does. Well, that's what it says. Well, the King James don't, it says more. Why is that? Watch what happens. You know, lust is as wrong as acting it out. Sins of the heart, as harmful to you as anti-God, as active sins. There is a difference between lust and attraction. You know, desiring your mate's not lust, but even thinking it. Same thing as committing it. Adultery. See, after the Holy Spirit came in. Things changed. Matthew 5:28, it got harder. Matthew 5:28, King James Bible says, but I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now don't stop there. Adultery is like every other sin. The thing about adultery and homosexuality in the Old Testament required death. Well, Jesus fulfilled that requirement for you. He just says, you are forgiven, but go sin no more. Anderson and the rest of them don't know that, I guess. I don't know. Or they're trying to pervert the truth, which is what I believe is trying to go on. So when the Holy Spirit entered us after the Pentecost was now available to everyone who became born again. You accepted Jesus as your Savior. You repented of sins. Have faith He's true because He exists. Then why not believe it? Well, He's inside you, right? Okay, so when you're lusting on a woman, Thomas, yes, when you're lusting, whether it's on a pageant, magazine cover, or whatever, the Holy Spirit's sitting there, Tom, wake up, boy, I'm here. And He ain't riding over your shoulder. Holy Spirit's not riding over your shoulder. He's looking out through your eyes. He's not riding on your shoulder. The devil's riding on your shoulder. Holy Spirit's saying, devil, don't you even think about it, boy. You come in here, I'll turn you into a paper shredder and spit you out. Holy Spirit's within you. You don't lose your salvation when you're born again. The majority of people are not born again. The sinner's prayer is killing people. The sinner's prayer should be to repent of the sin ends and have faith. When it's inside you and you start to sin, then He convicts you. When you do sin and you're born again, you're going to lose rewards. But you don't become born again a third time. So they tell you, once again, once saved, always saved is a falsehood. They want you to always doubt your salvation. But then the other part of it is, were you saved in the first place? And they've taken care of that by teaching lukewarm, watered-down church services. Satan is so clever, I say fight back. I am so guilty of everything I've said tonight, but I have to tell you about it. I can't hold back because I'm guilty, have been guilty. I must still tell you about it. Does it convict me when I talk about it? Absolutely does. Am I guilty of it? Absolutely am. Multiple marriages. Rambunctious from day one of my first day of college, man. I went downhill. All through the Marine Corps, oh my gosh. The things I pulled off was horrible. I look back on them now. Total stupidity. But I learned, and all I can do now is pass on my mistakes that I made, because I can tell you from experience, it ain't worth it. Ever. In some cases, I won't even go into the details. But you put it behind you, and you don't let Satan keep hitting you on the head about it. So then you ask yourself, it begs the question, what's wrong with having sex outside of marriage? I'm going to go into more details tomorrow night. But some of the reasons why people do it might be to repay or secure a favor, prove one's ability to conquer someone. Literally, get out of a speeding ticket. Literally, by the way. Get a good grade in high school or college. Buy affection or loyalty. To feel intimate, loved, accepted when you fear verbal communication. To feel admired or important to someone. If you have feelings of inferiority, the sex conquest boosts your self-image. Drown feelings of anxiety or tension. Control the other person emotionally. You think you're in control, but so Satan is. Win respect from other people. Hey, man, you know what I did? Oh, yeah. His ascension. To obtain pleasure for just yourself. It's very powerful, too, in politics, religion, finance, the arts, every area. You have to do a sodomy. You have to do a sodomy, same-sex relationship, whether you like it or not, in Hollywood. Same thing for your presidents, legislators in the satanic realm. They must have some kind of abomination that allows them to become possessed, so they cannot do it. They cannot be in that position. Did y'all know that? 33rd degree Mason at the high level. Family, this goes so high up. Pentagon studies on it and actual participation in it in some of the areas there in that little series of rooms in the middle of the Pentagon. Child Protective Service procures the children that they'll never see again. Family, the evil that goes on would boggle the mind of an average person and would have no concept. Would just stand there totally, utterly, with the hands down, mouth gaping open, eyes wide shut, whatever you want to call it. Freak out if he knew the truth about what's going on in the background. No idea how Satan has controlled all governments worldwide and military under manufactured situations and instances of wars. Manufactured. Everything I'm telling you can be proven. Satan does lose. Satan controls them, means Satan's going to lose them. When I say lose them, it means the humans will be lost that's controlling it. They're not really controlling it. They think they are. Sex is a weapon that Satan uses. Family, went about it a different way tonight. We'll talk about some more of it tomorrow night. I got a lot more detail about that. And it has a lot to do with what's going on today to control people. It goes higher than that, actually. So, family, I want to remind you all. Wow, went over a little bit. My broadcasts and Bible studies are played up at highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net by John Kirkler in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He has sponsors up there in those three states, so see if your list of sponsors is in your area. Use a sponsor in either commercial activities. And or send him some donations. Help him to, because he plays my broadcasts and Bible studies on a random basis on his network. And for me, it's appreciation, that's all. For him, it's a business. For me, appreciation. My website is watchmanforjesus.com, which those lists already know anyway. And I've got the archives up for my last show, and I'll get this one up shortly. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'll meet you all then again tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Hit the ground running. An outlook of what's coming up in the future. Some of the up-to-date news I think I need to hit tomorrow as well. So with that being said, let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight. We have a Bible study. Father, thank you for the opportunity you've given us. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us every day, that lives inside us. And Father, we look through his eyes. Father, sometimes we fall. Father, we know the conviction is there to keep us straight. Father, if we fail, we know we lose rewards. Father, help us to keep from failing, because our flesh is weak. Father, guide us this week as we move along. We call you upon, Lord, protect our families. Give us opportunities to witness to those in need. Family members first. And those outside next. And strangers, Father, that we may run across. And Father, you guide us with discernment and wisdom in these coming in times. It's getting real. Father, it seems like things are really happening. But Father, we know you're in control. and will guide us in those days when they really hit, if it be in our lifetime. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Family, we're going to close here on glorious day. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And we thank y'all for coming by. I do. And,
one day when
we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4.
Was filled with his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh, and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, the buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. And rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is here. Hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, and buried he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified, freely forever.